This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yak! Welcome, everybody, to a Wednesday edition. Merry day after Christmas. It is the Orange Buzz Podcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum, owner, publisher, column writer over at orangebloods.com, and it's our first show back from the holidays leading up to Texas playing Georgia in the Sugar Bowl in 6 days away. And I thought we would talk a little Texas football, college football in general, the bowl season, the games. There's a lot for us to unpack out of Santa's bag, if you will, and Christmas really came at the right time for me. Like by Christmas Eve, I needed a break. Yesterday, far more relaxing than I think a day of travel and nonstop presents and family members and weird little, I don't know about the rest of you, and I won't get into this, politics inside. I had no conversations. I wasn't involved in anything. I know what you guys are thinking, but I didn't do anything. But to listen to families tiptoe around and sometimes not even tiptoe around the political discord that is existent in 2018, almost 2019, it was fascinating. I don't know any other word for it other than I don't remember it always being quite this tense. And again, I wasn't even involved in it. I felt so relieved yesterday to escape a political conversation from anybody in my family. It just didn't happen, thank God. But there was a prayer that had some political connotations to it. There were weird little comments made by people that I didn't automatically think I would be hearing comments from. My favorite political comment, I'll give you a little taste of what was, I had someone remark yesterday randomly to me, a family member, that, you know, they worry about my kids because of rap videos. And I was like, what rap music do you think is being released with videos these days that kids are watching? That, you know, like, I feel like my life, my era in my teenage years, those were the Tupac I get arounds, the swimming pool things, like, you know, like, I feel like that's happened. I feel like if we were blaming things on rap music in 2018, I don't know that we can blame, just like the randomness that came from, I just was like, what decade are you living in? Because, you know... just not like the gangster rap just doesn't exist like it used to. I don't think my kids are going to pick up an Uzi because they saw something in a rap video. Theoretically, in, I don't know, like 10 years from now, 2028, when my kids are on the cusp of being teenagers. It was yesterday was weird. But I come out of yesterday pretty excited now. You know, it's bowl games are weird because if you play in a crappy bowl game, like Texas has played in for the last few years, then the bowl game kind of coincides with Christmas. So I always feel like the Alamo Bowl ruins Christmas for these kids that, you know, they've played and practiced football all, like, take Houston, for example. You know, they look like a team that didn't want to be playing in a bowl game. And I'm just guessing that a lot of those dudes on that team felt a little bit like Ed Oliver felt, which was, I practiced, I trained, I did all these things. And when the season doesn't go the way that you want it to, the bowl games, you watch these games and you see teams that just don't even show up. They don't want to be there. They don't want to be there. The season ended in ways they didn't want it to end. And now you're going to, after finals, you're going to make them go right into practice and essentially practice right on through, right up until or through Christmas. And there are just a lot of teams that just ain't about that life. And I don't blame them because I've been a media guy covering bowl games that fan bases aren't excited about in the last 10 years. Oh, here we go. The Texas Bowl. I get it. I get it. Right? I mean, part of what is going to make next Tuesday a lot of fun is that the game isn't at the Alamo Bowl. That this isn't, Texas hasn't done the Sugar Bowl in 23 years. So, yeah, it's just different. So I come out at Christmas, and what's cool is now the Texas football players and the Georgia football players, they got to have Christmas. And now, I think, you know, tomorrow everybody's in New Orleans and it's on. It's on. You start having the media availabilities and the bowl practices in New Orleans, and it feels different. And Christmas wasn't interrupted. Christmas was enjoyed. And now it's on. And so I came out of a busy Christmas day yesterday reinvigorated, like, let's do some damn college football. And it's funny because I was going to write a column at 10 Thoughts from the Weekend this weekend. And then life happened. I got hurt and then I got sick. And I really don't want to go into the details. It was just really weird. I got a deep tissue massage. And the woman who did the deep tissue massage did a number on the area down, like, around my back and near my kidneys, I think. It wasn't fun. So, less than a back injury, I felt like I had a kidney injury for about 36 hours. And then I caught a 24-hour bug, and then I couldn't stop vomiting. And maybe the two things were related, but I had the sweats and kind of had a fever, and it felt like a bug. And yeah. So it just wasn't fun. And I had every intention of writing a column. And then I didn't, because all that happened. And then Sunday, I was watching the fantasy football, you know. I just didn't want to work. And I didn't want to work on Monday, because it was New Year's, Christmas Eve, and I had to travel and drive and do all these things. And by 2 o'clock, we were in the Woodlands doing a Christmas event with my wife's father, and it was a 7-hour Christmas party. Like, there was just a lot. Like, at one point, we did a two-mile walk out of thin air on Christmas Day. Or Christmas Eve, excuse me. We went to go look at lights, and what it really turned into was like a 2-mile hike that was highlighted by about a mile and a half of carrying my kids, because they're 4 and walking, you know, like a mile. That's about their limit. Daddy, my feet hurt. Carry me. And, you know, I've got 2 of them. So I ate my ass off over Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but I feel like I put the time in. I burned calories in carrying kids across the Woodlands. So, like a stream of conscious, random Christmasness stuff just coming out of my mouth right now. But, you know, this stuff, doing a podcast or a radio show or anything, writing, it's therapy. Like, I think I maintain my sanity because I'm able to do all of these things. And all I know, man, is that I came out of yesterday, and I'm looking forward to Texas and Georgia, and to bring home the point as I was working on the column that never happened. I called a buddy of mine who covers Georgia, and one of the sections in my 10 Thoughts from the Weekend was simply going to be about what's the vibe in Georgia? And I wrote a little bit about this over at Orange Bloods today, because I'll be quite honest, if you're an Orange Bloods and you're listening to this and you're like, he's going to steal a little bit of Orange Bloods material and he's going to put it on the podcast. Today, it's kind of true. I don't do that. I don't feel like I do it all the time. But today, man, they had Christmas yesterday and the Christmas Eve and the kidney injury and the 24-hour bug. You just got to work with me a little bit. A little bit of crossover here. Although I think the majority of the podcast today eventually were where when I get to where I want to get, it won't be repeated material. But I did mention this on Orange Bloods today, which is I called a buddy of mine who covers Georgia. And I just wanted to get his vibe. We go back. I at one point, before he got the job that he was looking for in Atlanta, I had talked to him about working at Orange Bloods. Like, he's a good college football reporter. So I was like, hey, man, what is the vibe? And he's like, I'm not feeling it. He goes, no, nobody's talking about the game in Atlanta where he works. Someone on Orange Bloods even said today that there's not there in the Atlanta Journal Constitution today, there's no talk of this, of Georgia, Texas. That, you know, it is, this is not the game that Georgia wants to be playing in. And my buddy was pretty honest in saying that he feels like, and we both, look, we would both concede, don't take any of this as advice to gamble on Texas. Because judging body language and things like that of 18 to 22 year old dudes, you can get in real trouble trying to guess. I'll never forget the 2003 Holiday Bowl. I was staying at Sean Adams and I weirdly ended up with hotel reservations at the Washington State Hotel. And we thought like they were really cute. They wanted to play Texas so bad. And Sean and I talked ourselves into believing that the body language for the team had been good. It was chippy. It was a chippy. And we thought that was good. Like, you know what this team needs? This team thought it was going to the Fiesta Bowl. Now they're going to the Holiday Bowl again. They'll, a little bit of chippiness is what was needed. And so we heard about the discontent. We heard about the practices, which had been chippy, and we thought, this team's coming in fired up. And in reality, I couldn't have been more wrong about the 2003 Holiday Bowl. I knew a lot of the players back then. I watched the game from the parents section, and I didn't know going into the game. I thought Texas was going to whip Washington State's ass. And there was about halfway through the first quarter when it really dawned on me, like, oh, shit, man. This thing's going sideways everywhere. Everyone doesn't want to be here. Sean and I were having a great time in San Diego. We thought everybody wanted to be there. And very quickly, it was like, oh, you should have known. So, look, I've been wrong on this. I'm looking at their body language, and I'm hearing what people are saying, and put all your money. No. I'm not telling anybody to bet on Texas. And I joked about this with my friend as well, because I told him that I was calling him for content, and that I was going to, whatever he was going to say, that I was going to put in my column. And we joked, like, that's dangerous. And I was like, I know, but I still want to know what the vibe is around Georgia. And, you know, he's picking Georgia to win the game, but he doesn't think Georgia gives a shit about this game. He thinks Georgia is going to beat Texas because Georgia nearly beat Alabama and probably is one of the four best teams in college football. And I think people underestimate Georgia. I think Georgia is this year's 2009 Texas in a weird way. I think Georgia had what happened to them last year. They got Tua'd. Texas is 15 minutes away from playing the defending national champions in the Sugar Bowl, and that just didn't happen. So Georgia does that thing that Texas did in 2009, which is the games weren't always, there was some changeover, there was some turnover from 2008 to 2009 on both teams, which made them not quite the same, right? Quan Cosby not playing in 2009 did make that offense different. There's a direct correlation between how good Colt McCoy was one year when he had all the weapons that he had in 2008 versus what it looked like when it was just him and Jordan Shipley playing pitch and catch, and it didn't feel like there was always a lot of help coming from anywhere, you know? But Georgia goes through this season, and they just kept winning, and they kept doing what they needed to do. And they put themselves back into a position to right what was wronged in their minds from a year ago. And I think Jalen Hurts coming into that game and changing it the way that it did, and Georgia losing the way that it did, I think Georgia in this moment, that was Colt McCoy getting the stinger. That was, you're there. And for Texas in January of 2010, it was a chance for that 2008 team to have every wrong righted. They thought that they were the best team in the country in 2008. 2009 wasn't any fun. Those games sucked. Colt wasn't half the player that he was in 2009, that he was in 2008, and nobody ever wanted to say it because they love Colt McCoy and do things like name their kids after him, but he wasn't as good. I watched that Texas-Oklahoma game in 2009 on the Longhorn Network about a month ago. It was stressful, and I knew the result of the game, but Colt's turning the ball over, and it turned into a Will Muschamp thing. Which, when is that ever good in 2018 college football? Or I guess in 2009 it wasn't a bad thing because you could still win, really win with defense. And now not so much. But Texas got to that Rose Bowl. And I to this day believe that Texas was going to beat the ever-living tar out of Alabama. And then Colt McCoy got hurt. I mean, I was in the Rose Bowl that night. It felt like a tsunami of momentum going in Texas's direction, and then that play happened. You had the onside kick. You had Texas putting points on the boards and driving in for a touchdown. I mean, it was happening, and it felt like they were going to buzzsaw Alabama. And that's the way. And then to have that, to lose that, every Texas fan knows what that is. Imagine Georgia, because they know now what it is to feel that thing that Texas has felt, and they're living through it right now. Them blowing the SEC championship and thus a spot into the national playoff. When they were this close to being able to get back, win the SEC, get back into the playoff, and truly fix what went sideways on them for 15 minutes at the end of the last season. Texas has been there, man. And George is there now. And what I was talking about with my buddy was, look, man, like, that pain's real. Because he told me, like, the players are saying the things and the coaches, they've all been saying the right thing. But this dude's been working in this market for a decade now. And he can feel it. And this is what we talked about. He can feel when it feels like a big game. And he said this feels like they're going to a bowl game to play Texas. And for this team, that's not something that they're real jacked up about. So, you know, we argue until the cows come home or we're blue in the face or whatever little other cliche we want to use. We can argue what it means because we won't know until the game's played. And then whatever the outcome is, we'll be able to point to it and say, aha, they weren't, you know, bothered by it. Or they were. Now, sometimes in the moment, you can say what it is. And maybe it changes for these dudes once they get to New Orleans. That is always possible. Right? We're trying to... This game probably comes down to the fourth quarter anyway in a possession here or there. So, you know, you probably can't make too much out of this. But I do just find it fascinating that 6 days away from this game being played, I think there's a Texas side that really wants to play this game. And I think there's a Georgia side that really wishes they were playing in a different game. And don't underestimate what it will be, what it will feel like when Georgia players are watching the first round of the playoff games over the weekend. Right? They're bummed out now. They will be bummed out when they watch Oklahoma play Alabama. And however that game goes, they'll feel like they should be there. That if Alabama wins, they should have beaten Alabama. And if Oklahoma wins, they'll think, we should have beaten them too. We could have beat you. So I think Georgia doesn't want to play in this game. And then I think they've got a real mental hurdle. You know, if you're Georgia and you're the coaches, you'd want the playoff games, not the national championship game, the playoff games to be played after the game. Play them on the second, play the national championship on the ninth. Let us play our game first. I think this is an interesting little mental thing to have to get beyond. Look, man, And Georgia comes out and wins and thrashes Texas. You guys can play this podcast back again and be like, which was a weird Wicked Witch of the West type laugh. I don't know where that came from. Other than to say, you know, part of just having conversation about the whims and attitudes of these guys is that we can get it wrong. But I just firmly believe that you can't underestimate Georgia's mental health as a team wanting to play in this game, coming into this game. Now, shifting gears a little bit, we have to talk about the transfer portal because this thing has turned into like an early age MySpace for kids who might want to, you know, like I don't think. We were talking about this on Slack as our Orange Bloods group earlier today, and I don't want to completely steal Jason Sukumel's thunder because I believe it was Jason who mentioned, it might have even been Alex, but we were just talking about how big of a pain in the ass this thing is turning into for coaches, and there are going to be coaches that hate it. And I'll be the first person to admit, because I'm all about the players having some power. I love the fact that the players never have any power. They get punished if they want to go somewhere. It's hard for them. It's like a black market of sorts to transfer. Like, it's hard to get the word out that I'm available and I would potentially want to play in this conference or that conference. You know, guys are kind of out. People don't – high school recruits never understand this. They don't get it because they're 18, 17. They make friends with these coaches in recruiting. They talk every day. They text every day. They FaceTime every day. And then – if they don't land this kid, like, they got to go. These coaches got to move on. On to the next year of kids. And suddenly all these kids that on a daily basis we're talking with 20 different assistant coaches, like, that's gone. And it doesn't work out for them. They go to a school for a year or two. They want to leave and they find that, well, the coaches moved on. They're at another school. Like, the relationships have broken apart and dissolved over the course of the last couple of years. This is like my early age MySpace. Ooh, let me see who I can find online who has an account. Who did I go to high school with? Oh, bing. That's what this thing is, because kids now are putting their names through this portal. And you got a bunch of dirty old dudes trying to get a hookup, looking for some action. So I just think that this transfer portal, first of all the stuff that there's supposed to be some security in this, but there's none. Because if you were, there, as someone mentioned on Orange Bloods earlier today, there is no honor among thieves. You got all these horny-ass college football coaches trying to get some action on some transfers and who can they get and who's putting their names in. And there's no bigger group of gossipers than college football coaches. So if somebody sees a name in a transfer portal, shit, man. There'd never be a secret. Who? How in the hell? Like, imagine if somebody truly big time puts the, and it will happen. First time some five-star kid who didn't play much in his freshman year puts his name in the transfer portal, how in the hell is anybody going to keep that a secret? Because you're not trying to just get one coaching staff to stay quiet, which is, that in itself is almost an impossibility. The idea that 100+ coaching staff from around the country would have access to a database and could keep that information to themselves and it not get out, man, there is a better chance of any of us individually winning the Powerball than there is for that to happen. There's a greater chance that Eric Reed will get drug tested an eighth time this season than, oh, wait, I guess it's crazy statistical anomalies do occur. It's true. It is true. Sorry, I've got something ringing. I don't know what's going on. So we're going to, this is a tricky one. Because I think as Jason, as I was trying to reference between, I went on a tangent, Jason was referencing there had been so much talk about kids being able to have four extra games of, you know, before you would lose your redshirt season. There was so much focus put on that rule. And I think this one slipped by people because the first time I heard about the transfer portal, maybe like a week and a half ago, I had to remind myself, what the fuck's a transfer portal? What just happened? It was one of those new things that, oh yeah, they passed that. And then I hadn't thought about it for months. And then somebody, you know, so-and-so is reporting that, I guess, Cameron Rising has his name in the transfer portal. What the fuck is a transfer portal? Oh, that's right. They passed this thing that we didn't talk about enough when it happened. This one's funny for me, man, because there are so many things that I feel like haven't been thought out. The least of which isn't what I was just talking about, which is college coaches can't keep anything secret. So if one of these kids just wants to see what his options are, it's out publicly in 24 minutes. Forget about 24 hours. And one of the things that my first reactions to this was, you know, I'm a bleeding heart, right? So I was like, these poor kids, they're not going to have any privacy. You know, I thought about a guy. Remember Chris Nelson last year was constantly being catch. We kept getting asked, another website is reporting that Chris Nelson's not going to be here next year. And we were like, well, man, that's dangerous. Like, our rule on discussing about transfers in general is that these kids change their minds like 15 times every 2 weeks. You guys don't know how the sausage is made. You just like the taste of it. Let me tell you, there's probably 25 to 40 kids on the Texas roster that in the last 12 months have kicked around the idea of leaving the program. That's at every big-time college. There's that underbelly of kids who are confused, that are frustrated, that all these thoughts that they want to go home. They want to take, they have a kid, they have a girl, their mom misses them, they're poor, they're just not happy. Like, there's all these things that happen. And these kids constantly go through the ringer trying to figure out like what they want to do with their lives, just like we did when we were the same age, except like people care about them and they don't care about us. Right? Like, nobody was writing about my tales of a semester at Austin Community College taking Spanish so that I could get into Texas. I was the original Devontae Lumpkin, by the way. So I originally thought, like, you know, imagine this was Chris Nelson a year ago. And imagine that Chris Nelson had just a thought. Like, man, there were a lot of unhappy dudes here last year. In 2018, going into 2019, maybe he puts his name into this thing called a transfer portal. And maybe immediately everybody finds out that he wants to transfer, and then he transfer because that's like what everybody's been talking about. One of the things that this transfer portal is going to cause that's a negative for the players is there will be no privacy. Like, whatever Chris Nelson either did or didn't go through last season, and I think he is forever moving forward, the test case, he's a captain. He's unhappy. He doesn't like Herman. Well, he's still here, and the coaches keep saying they expect him to come back, and he says he's coming back. So I don't know what you want me to tell you. Like, he's the perfect test example moving forward of, you heard somebody was going to transfer, huh? Because more 9 times out of 10, kids change their minds. They do, man. They think they're going to transfer, and then they don't. And maybe 9 out of 10 is too often. 4 out of 5, though. Because I'm telling you, half the roster at Texas has thought about transferring. And obviously, a huge number of them didn't leave. I wonder what it means for Cameron Rising and Casey Thompson to have their names in the transfer portal. And now the bug is there. And dude, it will be the wild, wild west. Because these kids can claim hardship and potentially get waivers and play right away. And these coaches that are worried about losing their jobs. I'm just telling you, like, it's going to be crazy. And look, man, I got to be honest. If you're a college football player, and let's think of it like this. Remember that kid, Chucky Keaton, that played at Utah State back in the day? It wasn't that long ago. It was 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. He goes to Utah State. He was a two-star recruit. He shows up at Utah State, and he was an all-conference player right away. And had the transfer rules not been what the transfer rules were back in the day, you know, because he just didn't want to have to sit out a year, a full year of starting and playing, and that kid could have transferred anywhere. But he ended up getting hurt, and he wasn't able to leverage the good fortune of playing really well, really early on. He was never able to parlay that into something better than, no offense to Utah State, but Utah State. Now, a kid that's all conference at any position, at any school, you know, maybe he went to Missouri, but his dream offer was Ohio State. He plays a year at Missouri. He's a badass. Look at the kid at Purdue. Now, we all think Rondale Moore would stay at Purdue because he had options of going places, and ultimately he chose Purdue because he wanted to be close to home. But and what if Rondale Moore has done a year at Purdue and has been an All-American, and now Alabama or Georgia is like, we will do the thing that Purdue can't. We'll make you a Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, what is to keep Rondale Moore from putting his name in the transfer portal just to see what happens? I'm not transferring, but I'm exploring my options because that's the leverage I have now. College coaches take interviews with other schools to potentially, you know, if a defensive player at Texas, when it's, look, Todd Orlando interviewed for a head coaching job, you know, Stan Drayton at Akron. He was just telling me he's going to be here all 4 of my years, and then he took a job interview. They give me this transfer portal. I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm going to put my name in there. I don't have any intention of leaving. But look, if Alabama is going to offer me a scholarship and a suitcase full of money, if that's on the table, literally, figuratively, however you want to take it, you know, I'm gonna put my name in the portal and see if I can roll a Yahtzee or Plinko or whatever. You know, whatever your game of choice was, either board game or TV related back in the 80s. Because I feel like Yahtzee was an 80s game. Although maybe it was 70s. I don't know. I'll have to do a search on Yahtzee later. But I remember Yahtzee being a big deal when I was a kid. So this transfer portal thing is going to be a can of worms, and I expect college coaches to bitch about this. I have my money on Dabo Swinney before this week is out, bemoaning the fact that the transfer portal thing is an issue. Now, here's the thing. I rarely agree with Dabo, but this thing is completely wild, wild west stuff. They just have not thought this thing through to troubleshoot the issues that are going to come out of this. So I think it's something that needs some added regulation. I do. Excuse me. But while I think some added regulation to protect everybody is probably a good idea, I find it hilarious. And I'm probably the only, you know, the percentages say that I'm in this 20% group of people that would probably think about it this way. And most of you listening wouldn't think about it the same way that I would, but I'm kind of I'm pro paying player. That's not easy to say, apparently. And at least not for me. But I'm one of these guys that wants to see the athletes get more. So it is ironic that they finally have been given something. The NCAA didn't think this thing through, but this was their way of saying, okay, look, we're not going to give you money, but we'll make it easier for you to transfer. How about that? So this is what they thought. Well, we'll just give them something. They can transfer. But they haven't thought this thing through in a way. So now the coaches who are getting paid are going to complain that the players finally were given something, like some help. And the one time the players get some help, because they so rarely think about helping the players, they haven't thought about, what the hell is this thing going to look like when it's fully engaged? What will it look like if Rondale Moore is like, yeah, I'm going to put my name out there and just see what happens? Because I always thought that that was something that I wish Chucky Keaton would have had. I was watching Texas struggle to find a quarterback. This two-star goes to Utah State and is a total badass, and he's stuck at Utah State. So I think this is the this is bigger than recruiting. This is bigger than recruiting. Wait till the bowl season is over. Wait till some five-star kid is like, yo, man, I turned 100 G's down from this school to go to this school, and I didn't even play in my first year. I'm going to put my name in a transfer portal and see what's what. See if the SEC bag man pays as well for incoming five-star transfers as they did when they signed out of high school. What? It's just that it's limitless. It is limitless. And behind all of this stuff, as I mentioned before, is a college coaching, the group of college football coaches who will all have different agendas, right? If you are, you know, if you're coaching at Kansas or Kansas State, this is better than JUCO recruiting. I'll just tamper. These kids put their names in the portal for a reason. I can call them up, be like, you want to start right away next year? We loved you. And if you're Tom Herman or you're Nick Saban's going to lose his shit at some point. Because the Bama dudes that were like national 100 players that can't get on the field because Alabama's got five, like every class has 20 national top 100 guys in it. They stack them up and stack them up and stack them up, and the dudes at the back of the stack, normally they transfer quietly. There's nothing quiet about this. We're learning about this. Someone asked me earlier, why does Shane Buechele not have his name in the transfer portal? And I originally thought, maybe he didn't want to transfer. Like, maybe he's cool with, I'm going to stay here at Texas. I'm going to marry the girl that I'm dating, or I'm going to get my degree and I'm going to stay here. I love my teammates. I love all, like, whatever. I want to stay. Something happens to Sam next year, I can be the dude my senior year. I can rock with that. I thought maybe that's his attitude. Because we've all heard about the Arkansas stuff and the SMU stuff. So maybe you don't need to transfer a portal if you're Shane Buechele. Or maybe you're Shane Buechele and you got a dad who's smart enough to go, wait a minute now. You're going to put your name where? To who? And who protects your privacy? The college coaches, huh? The same ones that have already been illegally contacting me, trying to get their foot in the door, should you want to transfer those guys? No thanks. Maybe that's what happened. There's a lot of, the options are limitless, a little bit like what it is. I mean, this is the great untold story, because this thing's going to go through. Like, we're going to get a year of this. Everybody behind the scenes is freaking out now because they realize, oh, shit. This is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. But they can't do anything now. Because their worst nightmares haven't yet been realized. Like, I'm talking about this stuff theoretically, but the theoretically stuff's going to, like, happen. And then it won't be theory. Then it'll be, like, the results. So they can't change the process before anything bad happens, but they know that the bad stuff's happening. And who gets hit the hardest? What if any school in the country, you know, what if there's a coaching change and you just hear that half the team has their name in a what if a team wants to protest its coach? Think about Maryland. Think about any situation. Think about what it would mean if 50 dudes all agreed, let's put our names in the transfer portal together and see what the hell that shakes up. I'm just telling you, this thing has a chance to be the thing that 2019 is remembered for. What happens in the next 6 to 9 months that could be so, because as I'm laying out in front of you, the possibilities are endless. Possibilities are endless. And a few of them will have to unfold in order for the NCAA to be like, we're putting in some legislation to tweak this. What are you tweaking? Why do you need to tweak it? You're like, there have to be reasons. Baby, they're coming. And buckle up. I can't wait to see what transfer portal gate brings us next. Oh, I won't put a gate on it. This be the transfer portal saga. Dun, dun, dun! It's a nationwide thing. And Texas is already dealing with their two freshman quarterbacks. You know, if there's no transfer portal, those two dudes could just be unhappy and we could just speculate about it. Oh, Cameron Rising's unhappy. Well, he's a California kid. You know, those out-of-state kids, you know, they transfer back home at twice the rate that the in-state kids do. That's a made-up stat, by the way, but probably a real one. And, you know, we would just speculate it. We didn't speculate it for months, but it'd just be speculation. You know, it's out there now. So on some level, we know that both of them are unhappy. Because that's what it sounds like when you put your name in a transfer portal. You got to be unhappy to do that. I'm sure that they didn't think to themselves, yeah, before the bowl game's even played, this will be out. Because I wonder what practices, what the hell's Tom Herman thinking? Whose ass is he kissing? Is he mad? I want to hear his thoughts on the transfer portal. I bet he's not happy. I bet he's trying to win a Sugar Bowl and his two freshman quarterbacks are putting their names in the transfer portal, basically signaling, yo, I'm ready to get up on out of here, potentially. Not automatically, just potentially. Because that's all that it means. It just means a toe in the water. Oh, man. Maybe I'm picking Dabo to be the one to go on the rant. And maybe it's actually going to be Tom Herman who sounds off on a system that so far seems like it's been unfairer to him more than other schools and head coaches. But it won't be that way long. It just happens to be that the Cameron Rising and the Casey Thompson thing happened. But Texas won't be alone in that. And they may not be alone in that this week. Maybe that's one of the stories all week long. Like just, and maybe they're not big names that would impact big game discussion, but they're distractionary things. And we all know how college coaches love them some distractions. Anyway, look, man, this is my Wednesday edition of the OBP. I'm going to wrap this bad boy up. We will do the Ticket City locker room. Well, not even the locker room. It's Ticket City podcast. We will do that tomorrow. I'll have another podcast out Friday. The whole gang will be putting them out back on schedule now that the holidays are over. I hope everybody had a great Christmas. I hope you got to love on your family's necks a little bit. And thank you for listening.